Well, I'm going to ask my lovely wife, Pastor Diane, to join me up here today. Would you join me today? Huh? Huh?
Of course.
Of course. Here you go.
Thank you.
Today, as you must know, is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, the beginning of a week that transformed the world as we know it. You really stop and think about it. The birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ so impacted the world that we reset our clocks by it, our calendars by it. Do you realize that? Everything now is either before Christ or after Christ. Now, they've changed the terminology. Now it's no longer before Christ, it's BCE, before the common era, they call it. I want to ask them, well, what's the common era? The common era was the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ. They may not want to say that, but anyway, it basically began with this day, the entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem, the Jewish people, had been waiting for their Messiah. They had been waiting for their king to come. And now they believed that this man was their Messiah and their king. But their desire was that he would be a king that would free them from the oppressive Roman rule over them. And that they would be freed from that, and he would establish his kingdom that way here on earth, that they would be a freed people again. So as he came into Jerusalem, they were ecstatic that they laid down their robes and their coats to make a path as he came in on that donkey. And they waved palm branches, which is a sign of honor for a king. And they shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Believing that their king, their Messiah that was now going to free them, had finally come. But it didn't take long for them to realize that wasn't really his purpose, to free them from the Roman oppression that they were under. And quickly the tide began to turn. And as the religious leaders began to come against him and eventually convinced the government to arrest him, and he was now declared a blasphemer. He wasn't the man and the Messiah that they were expecting and they desired. And very quickly, after he was arrested, and he himself proclaimed that, yes, I am who I claim I am, those cries and shouts of Hosanna turned to shouts of crucify him. Crucify him. And that's exactly what they convinced Pilate to do, to crucify him. And a crown of thorns was placed upon his head. Now, they twisted together a crown of thorns. It's not like the little thorns you see on your rose bushes. These were thorns that were maybe 3/4 of an inch to an inch long. And they wrapped him into a crown, and they didn't just place it upon his head. They pressed it down into his scalp with excruciating pain.
Before that, he was already beaten. He was mocked as king. They stripped him, pulled out his beard. They put a scarlet robe on him and called him King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. Mocking, they spat at him, took a reed and struck him on his head with it. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of them, everyone, and mocked and laughed.
Then they took that robe off him. They put some of his own clothes back on him, and they led him away to be crucified And to add insult to injury, they made him carry his own cross. Already in a weakened state, already depleted, bleeding, suffering, they made him carry that cross through the streets of Jerusalem.
Doesn't the Bible tell us that we will receive crowns?
Yeah.
It will be his delight to give us crowns for the work we do in his name. Doesn't the Bible tell us to pick up our own cross and follow him?
Yes, it does. In Matthew, the Bible says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? It means that daily we're faced with situations. We have crosses in our own lives. And our flesh is rotten. Our flesh stinks. Our flesh wants to do everything and anything possible to preserve itself and do what feels good to us. But we have to, and we're called to deny ourselves, to deny our flesh, and to follow him.
A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. His blood was flowing out of him, and he was losing strength.
And as he hung on that cross, he said, did you forget me, Father? Did you? We read in Matthew, it says, from noon to 3 p.m, when darkness was flooded all around him, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt God's wrath on that cross because of sin. The word says, sin separates us from God. Jesus became sin for us. They nailed him to a wooden cross. His feet and his wrists had nails through them that went right into the wood of the cross. This caused him to feel such pressure and pain as he hung there. It must have been so difficult for him even to breathe.
A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, Father, did you forgive me? Father, did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before his cross. Hallelujah.
He hung his head and he prepared to die. Jesus was always prepared to die for us. That's why he had come. And he knew that, to cover our sins. He truly became the way, the truth, and the life. He had to die in order for us to live.
He hung his head and prepared to die. He lifted his face to the sky. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. You're still connected. He's still connected with his faith. He connected with the Father to honor him. The words say, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. What does that mean?
Can't you sense the Lord's return? Can you see end time scripture being fulfilled? Keep looking up. For if we're alive when the trumpet sounds and Jesus calls us up to the clouds, we'll be with him to live forevermore in heaven. In Acts 7, it says, we read when Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up, being full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He looked up steadfastly into the heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said,
hallelujah.
I see the heavens open.
Hallelujah.
But this did not happen for Jesus when he was on the cross. Mm. He didn't see an open heaven. He didn't even see his Father. And he asked, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Jesus said, I am coming home now, Father, to you.
A reed that held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. The soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of the Lord said, truly, this was Jesus Christ, our Savior. The true knowledge of who he was coming to the people, even to the crowd.
The soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of the Lord said, truly, this was Jesus Christ, our Savior. The true knowledge of who he was coming to the people, even to the crowd. He, the soldier, looked with fear upon his sword. He turned to face the Christ and Lord, fell to his knees, crying, hallelujah!
Took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown.
Then he laid him down to rest inside the tomb, the holes in his hands, his feet, and side. Now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Hallelujah!
By what he endured, he saved others, but he didn't try to save himself.
Amen.
He loved people so much and made the way by dying on that cross. The crowd shouted, if he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross.
Jesus.
And we'll believe in him.
Oh, God. Now, at the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? He called his own Father his God, and there was absence. Then he cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves opened.
Hallelujah. Matthew tells us the graves opened, and many of God's people who had died or fallen asleep were raised from the dead. They came out of the graves after Jesus was raised from the dead and went into the holy city, where they appeared to many people. 3 days went by. Again they came to move the stone and bless the slain with oil and spice, anointing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone.
Amen.
For Jesus Christ has risen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 27, verse 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Hallelujah. Mike, we're going to show a video and a song. If we could dim the lights, maybe, Albert or Paul, and listen to the words of this song. Many of you have probably seen it and heard it.
A crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, did you forget me, Father? Did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would
Let me ask you something. Do you think that when Jesus was dying, do you think that he saw all the faces of the people he was dying for?
Absolutely.
Do you think he saw you?
Absolutely.
Do you think he saw me?
You better believe it.
Do you think that he saw every aborted baby?
Yes, without a doubt.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
What else do you think he saw when he was on the cross?
I think he saw his father smiling. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Do you think that he saw every moment of a soul came to him?
Yes.
Accepted him? Do you
Absolutely.
Think he saw those moments?
I do.
Do you think he saw us up in heaven?
I think so.
Do you think he saw the gifts that he has for all of his people?
Yes. He's got
that he would be giving
prepared.
Them, handing them out?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it tells us in Matthew that after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake from heaven. Mm. And came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. An angel did. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men.
I'm shaking ever since I got up. I've been shaking. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. For he is risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay."
Hallelujah. And he said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Behold, I've told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold,
Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice,
for
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ has risen."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a faithful God we serve. Like I said, he's always been faithful. This was the beginning, his triumphal entry. He went through a lot this week that lies before us. But as we gather, you've probably heard it said, you know, about Friday. You know, Friday was devastating, but Sunday was coming.
Amen.
And we know now what they didn't know then. Mm. But we have to look forward to his resurrection, because it's all about the resurrection.
Amen.
If he had not raised from the dead, his birth and his life would have counted for nothing. He would have been just another religious zealot who walked through the land. It's
but
the
why?
Resurrection, his life, that made the difference.
But why? But why? All of a sudden, he couldn't feel the presence of his father any longer. And he even questioned, "Have you forgotten me?"
I believe it's because all the sin, the weight of the sin of the world was on him at that point. And it was so ugly, so beyond words that could describe it, that his father himself had to turn away and not look at it for a moment.
Do you think also maybe he covered every moment that we may think we can't feel the presence of God? Do you think he covered that with us for his blood?
I believe so, because I believe Jesus, in his humanity as a man, he came purposely in humanity as a man, so he could relate to every situation and every circumstance, even the absence of the feeling of God, the Father, in our lives. So the Father allowed him even to go through that, so he could be the perfect sacrifice, being able to relate to everything that we go through.
Wow.
Amen.
Oh, God is good.
Did I answer all your questions?
I have a few more, but when we get
later home. On
yeah.
the way home. Amen.
But
go ahead.
I would like to call everyone up, because I would like to put this song back on again. And let's just have a time at the altar. Come on up.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Everyone, come up.
That was excellent, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Seeing you both do that.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, "Did you forget me, Father? Did you?" Took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown, then laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet inside. Now in our hearts we know he died.
Father, for the gift of your Son.
Yes. Father, anoint us, Lord God, to open our mouths and to tell the world it's not about bunnies. It's not about little chicks and eggs and chocolate, oh God. Oh, Father, anoint us that when we open our mouths, they will open their ears, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. And that there would be an anointing that can deliver them, that they would be able to see what truth is, and the truth would set them free, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Give us the boldness, oh God, but give us a love as we speak to the world. Give us such a love, oh God, an anointed love, Lord God, that can break everything false off of them, Lord God. And Father, I know that the world has a bad view of Jesus, and they're turning, so much of the world is just turning their backs. They don't even want to hear it, but you, oh God, by the power of the cross and by the power of the resurrection, you can do the work, oh God, to plow the fields and break those hearts open, oh God, that they would be ready, Lord God, to hear the truth,
yes,
Lord, in Jesus' name, Father.
Hallelujah.
So we pray, Father, that you would give us boldness, Holy Ghost boldness, with wisdom and anointing, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we look forward to gathering again next week. I know it's going to be a beautiful, special Sunday. Come on out and invite somebody. And invite somebody. Yes, hold on a second.
Wait, Annette is going to sing a song, please.
Hold on.
That's so beautiful.
Well, I haven't sung in a while, but I want to sing in that great getting up morning. In that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. In that great getting up morning, fairly well. Fairly well. Oh, in that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. Oh, in that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. Join in. Coming, singing of the coming of the Savior, fairly well, fairly well. Let's sing coming of a Savior, fairly well, fairly well. Come and sing of the coming of a Savior, fairly well. Very well, oh, come and sing, coming of the Savior, very well, very well. Oh, go blow that trumpet, Gabriel, very well, very well. Oh, go and blow that trumpet, Gabriel, very well, very well. Oh, go then blow that trumpet, very well, very well. Oh, go and blow that trumpet, Gabriel, very well. Very well. Oh, in that great getting up morning, very well, very well. Oh, in that great getting up morning, very well, very well. Oh, in that great getting up morning, very well, very well. Oh, in that getting up morning, very well, very well. Oh, go and blow that trumpet, Gabriel, very well. Very well, oh, go and blow that trumpet, very well, very well. Oh, go and blow that trumpet, very well, oh, go and blow that trumpet, very well,
Hallelujah, thank you.